All right, well, there are a lot of symbols at Christmas. During the season, there are a lot of things that we see that kind of represent the season, right? Santa, right? If you see a Santa, you know that it's probably, you know, this, you know, Christmas time. Mistletoe, Christmas wreath. We have a couple of them around here. Candles. I've always admired the beauty of poinsettias, right? They're such a beautiful flower, and you rarely see them, at least in the United States, unless it's around Christmas time. So I did a little research on poinsettias to find out a little bit more about them. Did you know that they were named after a man named Joel Poinsett? Did you know that? Joel Poinsett was the first United States minister to Mexico, and he is credited with introducing the plant to the United States way back in the 1820s. In Mexico, the poinsettia is called Flor de Noche Buena, which means the Christmas Eve flower. It really is the quintessential Christmas plant, right? It's beautiful. When you see them appear in the stores, you know that Christmas is not far away. And traditionally, the star-shaped leaf pattern is said to symbolize the Star of Bethlehem. And the red color is representative of the blood sacrifice that Jesus made for us and for our sins. Just as this beautiful plant draws our attention to Christmas, the star over Bethlehem drew the attention of the wise men. Now, I want to look at our scripture passage for this morning, and I want to read about this star that has become this symbol of Christmas. Do you know what the number one tree topper is? A star. Let's look at Luke 2, verses 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." And after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Now, the account of the star in the Christmas story has fascinated Bible students and astronomers for centuries. Some claim it was a conjunction of planets. Some think it was a comet. Others think it was a supernova in the sky. So what was this star, and why was it so important? What was God's purpose behind the Star of Bethlehem? Well, those are some of the questions that we're going to seek to answer in this morning's teaching. So as we seek to understand God's purpose for the star, it will be helpful to consider a number of things. First of all, we need to consider the heavens. Have you ever gone outside on a clear night and looked up into the night sky? Anybody ever like gazing at the stars? Some of you? Now, you guys probably get a nice view out there, right? Yeah. Probably on vacation you've done this, because the rest of the time you don't have time to do that, right? Your life is too busy. But when we first get a chance, we like to go out and look at the stars. When I was growing up, I used to work out at a summer camp and in Arizona. And there was this spot that we would go where there was no lights whatsoever, You'd have to take a flashlight back to get in there. And we would lay out on the ground and we would gaze up at the night sky. And the rule was, if you were there in that spot and you were gazing up at the sky, there was no talking, right? We were there to look at the stars. About 1,000 years before Jesus was born, King David, one of Jesus' ancestors, sat out under the night sky and he wrote, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him?" David was awestruck by the beauty and the majesty of God's handiwork, and yet he had no concept of the vast distances and size of the objects that he was observing. We have so much more knowledge of the universe today than David did. And so when we look at the heavens, we should be even more awestruck than David was when he considered the wonders of the universe in which we live. Now, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he created the galaxies, he created the stars, and he set them in space spinning in this astronomical precision. The book of Genesis in the Bible tells us that God gave us the stars in the sky to give light on earth and to serve as a sign to mark seasons and days and years. Now, God designed the universe with order. If you didn't know that, I'm here to tell you today. The universe is in order. It is not randomly, moving about out there. God has put it in order. And as the ancients studied the night sky, they observed this beauty and this order. For the most part, they found that the sky was very predictable. We too find that the sky is very predictable. As the great star wheel turned above the earth, each of the stars stayed in relative position to each other. The moon and the planets moved independently of the stars, but you could still plot their course in the sky. Then, of course, there were also many surprises. Meteor showers, comets, sudden flare-ups in the sky. Many of these ancients viewed these as signs or warnings in the heavens. And so it was that the Magi, these astrologers from the east, noticed something unusual in the sky around the time of Christ's birth. This is really important that you understand that this star was unusual. This was not an everyday star. Something out of the ordinary caught their attention and spurred them to make the long journey to Jerusalem. But remember, if God had not first created the universe in such order and precision, this star would not have stood out to them, right? If there was random flare-ups and bright stars that moved across the sky and stopped in one place and then moved to another place and stopped, this would not have been a big deal. So before we can consider the miracle of the star, we first have to consider the heavens, the beautiful order of God's handiwork in the stars of the night sky. The second thing that we need to consider is the scriptures. When the Magi got to Jerusalem, they began to ask people, "Where is this one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Somehow they connected this star that they had been following with the birth of Christ, and they came seeking to worship him. Now, you might wonder how they could possibly have made such a connection. And for that, we have to consider the scriptures. Long before Christ came into the world, the scriptures foretold of his coming. God chose the people of Israel to be his very own, and he gave them the law, the sacrifices, the temple, the promises, all of which pointed towards Christ, the Messiah. One of those early promises was recorded in the book of Numbers, where it was prophesied, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel." What's a scepter? When it says a scepter will rise, who carries a scepter? King, right? So a scepter means a ruler, right? Somebody who will rule will come out of Israel. So this promise was connected to an earlier prophecy about a scepter in Genesis, which says The scepter or the ruler will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nations is his." So taken together, these two prophecies talk about a ruler who is going to come out of Israel from the tribe of Judah, to whom the obedience of all the nations, not just the Jews, but all the nations, Jews, Gentiles alike, will belong to him. He will be king and ruler over all, not just the Jews. Now, in the Numbers prophecy, the star is symbolic of this ruler who is to come. And yet it's easy to see how the Magi may have related the image of the star in Numbers to this mysterious star in the sky that was shining in the east, that the king of the Jews was finally born. He was finally here. And if the obedience of the nations was his, then this Christ was not only going to be king of the Jews, but he was going to be king of all people, including them, because we know that the Magi were not Jews, right? And so it was appropriate that even these Magi from a distant land should come and worship him. Now, these may have been just some of the prophecies that the Magi were familiar with. You might wonder how the Magi would know all these Jewish scriptures. Well, if you think back to your Old Testament history, you'll recall that when the people of Israel were not faithful to God and his covenant, God scattered them among the nations, right? And he sent them into exile. Where did he send them into exile? Babylon, right? One of those places was Babylon, later conquered by the Persians. The prophet Daniel lived during this time and actually served as an advisor for both of these kingdoms. And some of the other advisors at this time were also called Magi. Whether or not Daniel passed these teachings along to the Magi or not, because of the exile, the Jewish scriptures were known and had gotten into the hands of these Magi. Being astrologers, they would have been particularly drawn to those passages of scripture which spoke about this star. Another messianic prophecy that may have influenced them would be Isaiah 60, which says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings of the bright, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." So whatever scriptures they knew, somehow they were able to make the connection between the star that was rising in the east and this ruler who had been prophesied in the Old Testament, about in the Old Testament. And so they came to worship him. So far, we've considered the heavens, we've considered the scriptures, but if we're going to understand God's purpose in all of this, we also have to consider the miracle itself. Because it's clear from Matthew that this was no ordinary star. It was a miraculous sign sent from heaven to mark the birth of God's Son. I don't know if you can see this picture very well, but I love that star because it looks like a cross, right? I imagine that the star that they followed looked like a cross in my mind, prophesying yet again about what Jesus would do for us. The star was miraculous in at least two different ways. First of all, the timing was miraculous. The star appeared at the time of Christ's birth. We read in Matthew that Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time that the star had first appeared. So why was it so important to know when the star had appeared? Because Herod wanted to know about how old Jesus was, because he was planning on killing him. And in fact, the Magi did not return to Herod as planned. And what happened? Herod became furious. And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years and younger. So for 2 years, this star moved wherever Jesus was, right? We know that he fled to Egypt, right? So this star followed him. It says in Scripture that it started and stopped. So wherever Jesus went, the star followed. How about that, right? Having a star just follow you wherever you go. I can imagine him as a child, like, trying to outrun the star. Like, you know, your catch your shadow kind of thing. Yeah. Secondly, the movement of the star was miraculous. It started and stopped, and it pointed the way. We know the Magi initially saw the star in the east, and they made the connection to Christ, and they came to Jerusalem. There is some question as to whether the star led the Magi all the way from their home to Jerusalem, or whether it reappeared once it reached Jerusalem and then led them to Bethlehem. But either way, it doesn't matter. As they traveled from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. So what was the star of Bethlehem? There have been many attempts over the centuries to identify exactly what this star was. And here are the four most common explanations. First, people think it's a comet. The early church father Origen was the first to suggest that the star may actually have been a comet. Halley's Comet made an appearance in 12 BC, but that is much too early for Christ's birth. Another comet appeared about 70 days in March and in April of 5 BC. That's a bit closer to the time frame of Christ's birth, but it doesn't explain the miraculous movement of the star towards Bethlehem. Also, comets were generally considered bad omens, right? They were bearers of bad news. Another thought is it was a conjunction of planets. Others have suggested that the star was really these planets aligning. Johannes Kepler, one of the fathers of modern astronomy, pointed to the conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn in 7 BC. And then it was later joined by Mars in February of 6 BC. However, once again, the timing isn't quite right, and it doesn't explain the movement of the star. Also, planetary conjunctions are fairly brief events lasting at the most for only a couple of nights, and then it goes away. So it couldn't have been that. Others think it was a supernova. Kepler actually preferred a different explanation himself, the possibility that the Magi saw a star that had gone supernova. A supernova is basically an exploding star. It's a spectacular event as the star suddenly flares up in the brilliance and maintains that brilliance over a period of time due to a series of internal explosions. The last supernova that occurred in our own Milky Way galaxy took place in 1604. It is reported that the star was so bright that you could actually see it in the daytime. Now, the ancients sometimes got comets and supernovas confused. They often called novas comets without tails. There are reports of tailless comets in the year of 4 BC, which may actually have been a nova. The timing is close, but once again, it does not account for the movement of the star. The fourth explanation is a manifestation of God's glory. And then they suggest that the star was a manifestation of God's glory, similar to the shining cloud that led the Israelites through the wilderness, except higher in the sky. The advantage of this suggestion is that the cloud in the desert is in an actual biblical example of shining objects that moved and stopped and provided clear guidance for those who followed. This is a good possibility. But then you have to wonder why the Magi called it a star. Perhaps that was the only word they knew to really that was available to describe what they were seeing. We can't really explain the star of Bethlehem, but when it's all said and done, we have something much better than an explanation. We have a mystery. We have a miracle. And the miracle of the Star of Bethlehem is one of the many wonders of the Christmas story that draws our hearts to worship the Lord each Christmas season. I don't know about you, but I don't want an explanation as to what the star was. I just know that it was a bright star shining in the sky that moved and stopped over where Jesus was. And that is a miracle. Even if we can't explain the Star of Bethlehem, we're not left in the dark as to its purpose. You get that? See what I did there? We can't explain the star, but we're not left in the dark. It's pretty bad when I have to explain my jokes. I'll warn you next time, okay? So we're going to consider the last thing, and that is the purpose of the star. What's the purpose of the star? Well, God's purpose for the Star of Bethlehem was simply to point the Magi to Christ. God used the star to catch the Magi's attention and bring them to Jerusalem. It was there that they received a fuller revelation about Christ from God and from his word. When the teachers of the law opened the scriptures and pointed them to Bethlehem as the place that Christ was born. King Herod called together all the people's chief priests, all the teachers of the law, and he asked them, where was this Christ to be born? In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. And then the star went on ahead of them to Bethlehem until it stopped over the place where Christ was. It's at this point in verse 10 that we read, when they saw the star, they were so sad. Right? They were very sad. No, what were they? They were overjoyed. Right? They were overjoyed. Why were they overjoyed? Not so much because they saw a star, but because the star had led them to their goal. It had pointed them to Christ. Now I'm going out on a limb here and suggesting that this is still God's purpose for the star today. God doesn't want us to get all hung up on the various attempts at explaining the star away or trying to figure out what exactly it was. Just as the purpose of a reading lamp is to shed light on a book you are reading, or the purpose of a spotlight is to highlight the person on stage, the purpose of the star is to point us to Christ. And we should let the star do just that. Jesus is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies. He is the ruler who came out of Israel. The obedience of the nations belonged to him. He is Christ. It's interesting, the Gospel of Matthew begins with foreigners from a distant nation coming to worship Christ. And the Gospel of Matthew ends with Jesus' commission to the church to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus isn't only the King of the Jews, he is the Savior of the world. And so the star has a missionary thrust. It's a reminder to us that we share the good news of Jesus with everyone, everyone that we can, both here where we live and around the world. We're to make disciples of all nations as we point them to Jesus. And so every time you see a star this Christmas, no matter where you are, I encourage you to think about Jesus. When you place the star on your tree, remember Jesus. When you hear Christmas carols referencing the star, worship and celebrate Jesus. And when you think about the star and how it led the Magi to Christ, ask God who he wants you to share the good news of Jesus with this Christmas. You see, Jesus is the real star of Bethlehem. He is the star attraction. He is the center stage. He was the motivation for the Magi's journey and the reason for their rejoicing. He is the reason for our celebration of Christmas. The baby in a manger is the centerpiece of every nativity scene. Jesus is the reason for the season. And the purpose of the star is to point us to Christ. Amen.
Night that was so deep. shining in.